Paul's lesson tonight to the ancient Corinthian people brings us to first understand the real importance of ambassadorship. We must first conclude that in order to function in any kind of world order, it is a necessity for nations to establish the day presence within the capitals of other countries. This presence is that of appointed representatives known as ambassadors. These ambassadors are the eyes, ears, and mouthpiece of their country in matters of commerce, affairs of state, and times of conflict. In reality, they represent the life and policies of their nation as well as being an arm of goodwill. Very often, especially in previous times, as well as being an arm of goodwill, very often they are the communication with these other countries. And in times of old, could take months away or travel to the foreign country. And so they had to be aware and had to make decisions. After all, they were in a foreign land. And people made their opinion now about a nation that they represent. After all, that is how we tend to judge others. That is through a narrow window of generalizations. Therefore, the ambassador was and is the living symbol of contact, of understanding the nation he or she represents. You know, although the role of the ambassador may be seen as prestigious and even glamorous, in reality, it is probably just the opposite. For the most part, they live in a strange land with strange customs and a language which they may not understand, and therefore, they need the assistance of an interpreter all the time. In addition to being in a strange land, they may even be the brunt of hostility and ridicule, or at best, being on guard to always say and do the right thing at the right time. Therefore, there is always the danger of causing damage to the reputation of the country being represented. There have been times in history that an ambassador's miscalculation or lack of diplomacy has caused nations to become enemies. Now, the life and responsibilities of the ambassador are awesome and can be daunting as well as prestigious and rewarding. And Paul understood this when he wrote to the Corinthians. So then, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. This means, like, if we take upon ourselves the commitment of being a follower of Jesus, then this is no small matter. It is the same as being an ambassador, for we are God's personal representative to the world in which we live. What we say and what we do is how others will see and understand this Christ, this Christianity, this kingdom of God that we represent. We are the visible sign and symbol, the very representation of God's good news, His revelation. It is dependent upon us to extend this revelation to others through our lives. Therefore, we can either be responsible to help lead others to this life of Christ, this eternity of God's love, or we can mislead them away from it. You know, Christians and so-called Christians have done both in the past, and we're doing both this very day. And this is so very evident in this news that we see every night. To be an ambassador for Christ is very daunting, yet very joyful. For the lives of others are, you know, they're at stake, no less our own lives. And we can bring joy or misrepresentation to their lives. But an ambassador is held accountable as to how he or she represents their nation. The same is the case for the ambassador of the kingdom of God. Just as a nation's ambassadorship is a full-time, 24/7 life in a foreign land, it is the same for the ambassador of Christ. It is a total commitment to represent and live the good news to the world, which we may in fact be foreign, which may well be foreign to them. Foreign because the society may, by in whole or in part, be in the darkness of misunderstanding based upon misconstrued truths of what the kingdom of God is all about. Paul writes, "See, now is acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that fault may be found with our ministry." This commitment of ambassadorship takes a growing understanding of who and what we represent. This understanding may be able to avoid temptations a realization for self-glory, but remain focused upon the core of God's revelation. We ourselves must be convicted in order to endure what may befall us. Paul continues, "But as servants, ambassadors of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, wholeness of spirit, genuine love, truthful in spirit and speech, and the power of God." To be confronted with physical harm and danger is always a possibility in the life of an ambassador. Regardless of the treatment received in a foreign land, there is no room to fight back. No room to fight back in like terms. The ambassador must be the diplomat who rises above that, all that nonsense, and they must fight back in the high goals of which must be represented as from their nation. We have seen such restraint by ambassadors when embassies have been threatened and even under attack. The ambassador's first response must be to try to reach peaceful resolution through diplomacy, or else even worse cases and crisis may occur for the nation. It takes a person of strong fortitude and conviction to stand up for peaceful resolutions. This is also very true in being an ambassador for Christ, for Paul states that the only weapons are the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Let me reiterate these righteous weapons as Paul has stated. Purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. When you think about it, these weapons, these attributes are employed in life. Confrontation is less likely, for they answer the needs of how all mankind wishes and should be treated. This is why the incarnation was such good news, for it fulfills mankind's basic need to be loved. But we know there were and are and will be the dark corners of life which seek the values of darkness, of self-power, fame, glory, and wealth above all else. These powers will be there to greet and challenge the ambassadors of God's kingdom. They will try to dispute, devalue, deframe, and even destroy anybody who represents this kingdom of love. For love is a threat to darkness. The ambassador for Christ will always be seen and received in different ways, as Paul states. Some will be in honor and dishonor, in ill repute or good repute. We are treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. During the season of Lent, we must renew our commitment in bringing a true ambassador, living a true ambassadorship of Christ, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. With this renewal, we must evaluate how we measure up to the responsibilities and joy of this ambassadorship, which has been placed upon us. It's been a gift to us, and we must live up to this gift. Then we must take the necessary steps to become the best ambassador we can possibly be, for God has given us His very best, His love and forgiveness through the life of His Son. His best was sealed with the agony, yet glory, of the cross and triumph of the resurrection. And during this Lent, we will travel that road to that glorious resurrection. But therefore, first the cross is set before us during this season of evaluation and renewal, repentance and commitment. It is a sign of God's kingdom of life and his appointment of you and me as his ambassadors. So as we drape the cross this evening with the purple robe of power, the purple robe, let us remind ourselves that in placing this on the cross, we also are placing that robe on ourselves. That robe that their ambassadorship shares. And how we live that ambassadorship is what will make either the cross the glory, or the cross as meaningless. Amen.